Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Chavav on Chaf A Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Tanya will learn to Nebrais. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Eimer, Eimad Likin Betzori. We may not light a lamp that contains this tzori oil, which was a fragrant oil. This was the sap that came tzori hanoite from atzei haktaf. This was something that was part of the k'toras. And the Aruch points out this is the shemen afarsamin mentioned in the Gemara brachos, which required a unique bracha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the bracha was ber shemen artzenu. Since this afarsamin was unique to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara concluded there that the bracha that we are meant to say is ber shemen arev, a sweet smelling oil. So this oil emits a fragrance. Therefore, says the Gemara, that is exactly the reason why we shouldn't light with this oil. And Madlikim Betzari says, the Gemara, my time, what is the reason for this? Because it emits, exudes a very sweet and a pleasant smell. Gzeira, there's a concern, perhaps the person will be drawn to this pleasant odor and will come to draw from the oil within the lamp to use it for his own personal use. Now, what's wrong with doing that on Shabbos? So Rashi points out, it brings the Gemara and Beya, that tells us that if one adds oil to a flame on Shabbos or draws out some of the oil from the lamp, so you add some oil to the lamp or draw some out of the lamp, that is considered to be a malacha. The Gemara says adding oil to the lamp, a burning lamp, he adds a little bit more supply of oil, that is considered to be the malacha of Mavir. It's as though he's lighting the flame. And Taisus explains there, because when one adds to the supply of oil, he's actually adding to the power of this flame. So he's adding to the fire, he's lighting, he's doing a malacha of Mavir. It's saying when he removes some of the oil supply, it's as though he's putting out the fire, he's somewhat dimming to a small extent the flame. So that's a malacha. Therefore, says the Gemara, don't use this shemen where a person might be enticed to go draw some of it out of the lamp, and that is a malacha. Once again, Amar Rabba, why? Because it exudes a very sweet smell. There's a concern that he might go ahead and draw out some of the supply, which is a malach on Shabbat. So, shemen, with this sap, this is shemen afarsamoin, cannot be used as a fuel inside a lamp on Shabbos. Amale Abaye. So Abaye challenged his Rabbi. He said, why do you have to come to this special, unique reason of gzeiro shemis topic? I have a more simpler approach. Lema mar, why don't you say something more simple? Because this sap has a tendency to get to spray and to splatter, and since it's flammable, it might actually put the house on fire. And this is something which applies even during the weekdays. So it's not strictly a Shabbos concern that he might go ahead and draw some of it out of the lamp and do a malacha, but this is something which is a concern which is prevalent throughout the week. Lema mar b'neshu off, because it might splatter and set the house on fire. Says Gemara, indeed, chadavoid kamar. This reason of shema yistapik menu was in addition to the basic concern of the danger involved. Chadavoid kamar. Chada, the first reason is b'neshu off, because it splatters and it will fly you over to the kosli habayis, to the walls of the home, and might set it on fire. V'oid, and an additional reason. Perhaps if the first reason is not applicable, let's say it's an open area where there's no concern about, no safety concern. Even so, there's an additional halachic concern, gzeira shemistapik b'menu, that you might go ahead and draw some of this out, and this is a malacha on Shabbos. Taisus adds that the Gemara soon will come up with another reason, that this saraf, this oil, this sap, it doesn't really produce such a successful flame. It is not nimshach achar psil. It doesn't get properly drawn to the and absorbed into the wick. So we actually have three reasons to disallow the use of this oil, of this tzori oil. Continues the Gemara, ahi chamsa. There was this mother-in-law The Hava sniha la kalsa. She very much disliked her daughter-in-law. Amrullah, so she told the daughter-in-law, Zil, go ikshit, go adorn yourself, go smear on yourself, and mishchada farsima, go use this mishchada farsima, which is the tsari you mentioned, and smear it on yourself, anoint yourself with this oil. Azla, so she went ikshit, and she anointed herself with this oil. Ki asas, when she returned, Amrullah, so the mother-in-law gave her advice, she said, Zil itli shraga, go light a candle. Azla itli shraga, indeed she followed the order, she lit the candle, inpach banura, and the fire caught on to this oil, which is apparently flammable, and vachalta, and it harmed her. Continues the Gemara, umidala sa'aretz, hishin nevazaradner, so this is a pasuk describing after the Churban Bayis Rishon, so nevazaradner left over some poor remnants of Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, to perform some service for the king. Umidala sa'aretz, from the poor remnants of Eretz Yisrael, Hishon of Azaradnon, Rav Tabacham, he was the Rav Tabacham, the head executioner. So he left some Yidden over to do work. L'kermim u'l'yoigvim. This was their job. Says the Gemara, what does l'kermim mean? Kermim etonu Rav Yosef elo malakti afarsimen. So kermim, in this context, means they gathered. They were in charge of gathering. What did they gather? They were the malakte afarsimen, this unique smelling tree that produced this unique this shemana farsamon. So, as mentioned in the Gemara Brachos, this was indeed unique to Eretz Yisrael. So they would collect this afarsamon, and the way they took the oil out, they peeled off some of the bark, I believe, and they extracted some of the oil from this afarsamon wood. So they collected it from En Gedi v'Ad Ramasa. That's where the afarsamon tree were located. So this was their job. What does yoigvim mean? Says the Gemara, yoigvim elu tzayadei chalaza, and they trapped this special chalazan snail, which contained this very unique colored dye, which was actually used for the tcheles for tzitzis. So they would collect the snails all along the shore from Sulam Eshel Tzur, from the mountain passes of Tzur, Ad Haifa, until the city of Haifa, so all along the shore from Tzur to Haifa, they would collect the snails that would come out of the ocean. So this was their job, and Rashi explains they did it for in order to provide the dye for the king's garments, for the royal garments. So the Chasam Sofer actually points out that why didn't the Gemara simply interpret the words of the Pasuk of L'kermim u'l'yoigvim simply to mean kermim, like a lashon of kerem, a vineyard, u'l'yoigvim to mean yoigvim, because sometimes gimel and kuf they sound alike. So perhaps yoigvim means yoigvim, which is referring to the yekev, which is the wine press. So why not simply interpret the Pasuk to mean that they were left over to be the kermim and the yoigvim, to tend to the vineyards and press the oil, press the wine. Said the Chasam Sofer, because for that they didn't need the Yidden. It was obviously a specific, unique expertise that they needed these specific people for, who indeed had the experience as Jews to go ahead and do these types of work for the royal garments, to collect the chalazon, which was a job expertise which they were experienced with, since it was used for the tcheles. So that's why the Gemara chooses to interpret the words of the pasuk in the context of providing for the royal garments with the dye of the chilazon. And indeed the word yoigvim here is similar to yoigvim, to the wine pressers, because pressing out the chalazin and getting the dye out of the chalazin was indeed similar to the concept of pressing the grapes for wine. Okay, continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brayse. Ein madlikin betavol tami b'chol. One may not light a lamp which contains oil of tevel, which is tami. So tevel is the produce where the truma maisa was not yet separated, and one may not derive hana, pleasure, from consuming this tevel. One may not put it into his lamp. when it is tummy, and Rashi points out the Gemara mentions tummy, but koshkin tar, certainly when it is tar, it may not be used in this fashion. So it cannot be used b'chol, vein tzorach leima b'shabbos, and certainly on Shabbos, it cannot be put into the lamp and lit in that manner. Now the Mefarshim ask, why is it so simple on Shabbos? What's the vein tzorach leima b'shabbos? The Gemara will give us a reason why tevel may not be consumed, and it's something which is all across the board. It's not specific to chol or to Shabbos. So what is the meaning of the words of the Gemara that it can't be used b'chol and certainly on Shabbos, which implies that on Shabbos there would be more of a reason to disallow it? And there's no the Mefarshim don't seem to resolve this question. Okay, so this is the first part of the Braisa, that tevel may not be used. Kayaitzu be a similar halacha, a madlikim ben neft lavan b'chol. One cannot use the neft, which is one of the byproducts of the pitch. So this was a unique type of neft. It was a white neft. It cannot be used as fuel in the lamp b'chol during an ordinary weekday in tzarachleim b'shabbos and certainly on Shabbos. Okay, so we have two halachis, tevel and neft lavan. Both are not suitable to be used in a lamp, whenever, whether b'chol or b'shabbos. Explains the Gemara, Bishlami Neft, we understand why Neft Lovan is not suitable. They show off because it gets splattered and sprays and can set the home on fire, similar to the concern by the Tzari mentioned earlier. So this applies to B'chol or B'Shabbos. Avol Tevel Tamei, my time, what's wrong with using Tevel? Says the Gemara, even Tevel Tamei may not be used as fuel in a lamp. On Makro, the Pasuk says, Vani nehine nosati lecho es mishmeres trumoise. The Pasuk is speaking to Aaron HaKohen, I've given to you es mishmeres trumoise, the watch of my trumois. Trumoisai is a Lashon Rabbim. It applies two types of trumois. As mentioned yesterday in Daf Chafei, b'shtei trumois hakasuv medaber, the Pasuk is alluding to two types of trumois. Achas truma tahira, whether a truma which is tar, which is meant to be eaten by Aaron HaKohen, or Truma Tmeya, which is given to him and he can use it for putting in a for fuel or for oil in the lamp. So this is something which he can also derive benefit from it. As we mentioned yesterday, we're not meant to give him Truma Tmeya for this purpose, we want to give him Truma Torah. But if the Kohen has Truma and it happens to become Tamei, he can still use it in this manner, enjoy it, have anah, derive benefit from it while burning it. Says the fact that the pasuk joins together these two types of trumas, truma Torah and truma Tmeya, in one context, we want to learn one from the other. As follows, ma truma Torah, just as truma Torah, which is meant to be eaten by Aaron HaKohen, when does he eat it? From when on does he have the schus, the rights to consume it? Ein lecha bo el mashas haroma behelach. He certainly only has the right to eat it once it had been separated from the tevel. Af truma tameya, the same thing regarding truma tameya, which is not, although it's not going to be eaten, it's going to be burnt. There's a mitzvah to burn it, but while he burns it, he can have anah. Says the Gemara that is only meant to take place. The kohen may only have anah from truma tameya. Af truma tameya ein lecha bo ella. Only once it was separated from the tevel may the kohen derive pleasure and benefit from it while consuming it. So Tosfos points out that of course tevel is not one of those things that are asur b'anah. One may have anah from tevel here. He can sit on tevel. He can have all types of anah, but not hanah shel kilui. Tosfos points out that hanah shel kilui, which means the hanah while destroying it, while it gets consumed, while expending the item. So that is what the Gemara here is referring to. That tevel cannot provide a person with hanah shel kilui. He cannot use it as fuel under his cooking pot or as a fuel into his oil, into his lamp, because that is hanah shel kilui. He's deriving benefit hanah from the tevel while it's being expended and consumed and being destroyed. That is akin to eating it. And that can only take place mishas haroma beilach. The kohen can only derive this type of hanah from the truma once it had been separated and removed from the tevel. So that is the pshat in the isser of using tevel in a ner, whether during Bechoil or during Shabbos, because one may not have a noshal kilui, one may not have a derived benefit while consuming the tevel, unless it was already truma and removed, separated from the tevel. So once again, we learn one from the other. The pasuk joins truma tahira with truma tmeah to teach us that we must connect it to, just as truma tahira, which is meant to be eaten, certainly can only be eaten after it's separated. All agree that tevel is asur ba'achila. There's no havamina to imatu tevel ba'achila. One eats tevel, it's the einish of misa. So we know that truma tahira will only be eaten once it's separated from the tevel. It's the same thing, truma tmeah. Although it's not going to be eaten, it's going to be burnt. However, one can only have the anah b'shas burning it once it had been removed, separated from the tevel. And we conclude also the other way around, that just as truma tmeah, the anah during the burning of truma tmeah will only take place after it was separated from the tevel. Same thing with truma tahira. If one should choose for some reason to burn it, that can only take place after it was separated. Therefore, even tevel tahir cannot be used in this manner. It can't be burnt. It cannot be put into fuel as fuel in a lamp, because the hanosh al kilo of even tevel tahir can only take place after it was separated, after the truma was separated from the tevel, just as truma tmeah. Of course, truma tahir is not meant to be burnt. However, the point that Jesus points out is that tevel tahir has also the same halacha as tevel tamei, and one cannot use it as fuel under his burning pot or as fuel into the lamp, have an oshal kili from it prior to the truma separation from the tevel. Okay, so in summary, we learned that there are three things that cannot be used as fuel in a lamp. We learned about sari, this unique fragrant oil, the shemen afarsamayin. And the first reason was because it is off, it gets splattered and sprays, and it can pose a danger. The Gemara added another reason which was unique to Shabbos, a halacha concern, shema yistapik, because it might be attracted to the oil and draw from it while the flame is burning, and that is a malacha. And as Tosis pointed out, there's going to be another reason upcoming in the Gemara that, sorry, since it is produced from the eitz, from the wood of the tree, it doesn't have that nature, that ability to be drawn and absorbed by the wick properly. Therefore, it doesn't produce such a steady flame. And this goes into the category of the other unsuitable fuels mentioned in the Mishnah, which there is a concern of shamayata, because he might go ahead and adjust this unsteady flame. We learned about tevel. It is not mutter to use tevel for hanoh shel kilui. While consuming the tevel, he can't put it into the nair and have a no while the oil is being consumed, because this type of a no is only mutter mishas harama v'heilach, only once the truma is separated, not while it's still tevel. And finally, we learned about neft lavan, this white type of byproduct of pitch, and the concern there is a danger concern that it might go ahead and splatter and spray and can set the house on fire. Therefore, it's not suitable during the weekdays as well as Shabbos. Continues the Gemara Gufa, we just learned, of Shimon Lazar Omer. Ein madlikim betzari, we don't use tzari in a lamp. V'chein of Shimon Lazar Omer, tzari einoy el asraf. How do we produce this tzari, the sap? It is a sap. In El Asraf, it is a type of sap which comes me'atziha k'taf, from this k'taf tree. And this was the, according to the Aruch, this is the Shemen Afarsamayin mentioned earlier in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara of Shmuel Eimer, kol yoytzim and eitzim adlikim boi. So Rav Shmuel adds something else to the list of unsuitable oils. We just mentioned tzori. The Gemara told us tzori comes from a k'taf, comes from this type of tree. And indeed, as Tosis explains, since it is produced directly from the tree, it doesn't have the ability to produce a healthy, steady flame, and therefore, that is another reason why it's unsuitable. The Gemara proceed with giving us a list of various shittos that have their own idea of restrictions regarding oils and fuels. So we had the Mishnahs that discussed Zephis and Itran and Neft and various types of oils. Here in the Braisa, we will have another list of Shitas that will add some more restrictions and will list us some oils that are not suitable because they don't have the ability to maintain a steady flame, a consistent flame, and indeed there's a concern that he'll go out and reach out and adjust the flame, Shamayata, which is a Malach on Shabbos. So once again, we began with the Halacha of Tzari, and the Gemara explained that it comes from the tree, and this indeed is the reason why it doesn't really get drawn properly after the wick, and it doesn't produce such a steady flame. Continues the Braisa with several other Shittas. Rabbi Shmuel Aimer, Kala Yoitzi Min Eitz, anything that's produced from a tree, Eimad Likim Boi, it's not suitable for Hadlaka, it's not suitable to be used as oil in the lamp. Now what is he coming to add? He's coming to Aser, he's coming to prohibit even Itran. Itran was one of those oils in the second Mishnah, which was allowed, which was permitted according to the Tanakhama. Rishmal disagrees with that. He says anything that's produced from an eitz that comes from the tree is not suitable. So not only tzari, but also itran. So he's coming to add another item on the unsuitable list. Rishmal ben Breiko Aimer, he adds another restriction. Eimat likin el biyotzi min ha-pri. One cannot use only an oil, something which is extracted from a pri, something which is extracted from something which is picked off a tree, but not extracted directly from the tree itself, from the wood or the bark of the tree. Now what is he coming to add? So Rashi explains he's coming to add not only the tzari and the itroin, but also the shemen dogim, the fish oil, since a fish is not a pri. So let's see another couple of shittas. At the end we'll try to make a summary to clarify, to list all the shittas. So in the meantime, we added another shita which says that everything that comes from a pri is suitable. And he's coming to exclude the tzari, which is from the tree. He's coming to exclude the itron, which is directly from the tree, which is a byproduct of the pitch, which is a product directly from the tree, and also the fish oil. So according to him, it needs to be something that comes from a pri, which is a fruit or something picked off the tree, and oil extracted from that. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, he's the most restrictive. Eimad likin el b'shemen zayis b'lvad. According to Rabbi Tarfon, the only suitable oil is shemen zayis. Omad Rabbi Yochem Menuri Araglov. V'omar. Rabbi Yochem Menuri heard the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. He got up on his feet and he challenged him. He said, how could you suggest that the only suitable oil is shemen zayis? Okay, so if you have shemen zayis, you live in an area that produces olive oil, fine, you're okay. But ma yasu anshei bavel, what should the people of bavel do? She'en lehem el shemen shom shemen. They only have access to sesame oil. What are they going to do on Shabbos? So there's actually a medrash which says that Rabbi Tarfon responded to this by saying, okay, but what should I do? The Torah favors olive oil. We find that the Torah specifically instructed us to use shemen zayis by the menorah. So that's what we're meant to use and nothing else. Now it's interesting, there's a difference of opinion. There are two approaches in how to explain Rav Tarfon's din. Rav Tarfon says we may only use shemen zayis. Tosfos, earlier on the Daf Chav Gimel and Divrei Maskil Mereish, seems to learn that Rav Tarfon's shita is based on the concept of Shemayata. Rav Tarfon is concerned that all other oils don't really have the ability to properly produce a really successful steady flame, and therefore only shemen zayis, which indeed has the full-fledged ability to do that, may be used. So according to the Apshan Tosfos, Rav Tarfon is discussing the concept of lighting any type of lamp on Shabbos. He's not specifically speaking about the Ner Mitzvah of Shabbos. This is a halacha concern with regard to any lamp that is burning on Shabbos, that if it doesn't produce a steady flame when you use any other oil, then there's a concern of malacha shamayat, it might go out and reach it and adjust it. However, according to this medrash, it seems that Rabbi Tarfon is directing his words at the Ner Shel Shabbos, Ner Shel Mitzvah, specifically. that since we find that the Torah favors was mechavev the olive oil for the menorah, so apparently that's a mitzvah min hamufchar. That's the most preferred manner of doing a mitzvah, and it's the most suitable for Ner Shel Shabbos. So he's specifically speaking about the Ner Shel Mitzvah Shabbos. And that is the discussion here in the Braisa. Apparently, according to this approach, a tarfon will not disallow other oils when they are put into ordinary lamps, which are not Ner Shel Mitzvah. A tarfon specifically speaking about the Ner Shel Mitzvah, which requires a mitzvah mina mufchar in the most preferred manner, which is Shema Zayis, that the Torah was mechaviv, the Torah favors. Okay. Continues the Gemara of Yechem Nur standing on his feet and challenging Rav Tarfon. What are the people in Babel going to do that they only have access to Shem and Shum Shemin? And he continued and he said, Mayas Wanshi Madai. What are the people of Madai going to do? Shein Lamel Shemin Goizim. They only have nut oil. Mayas Wanshi Alexandria. Shein Lamel Shemin Tznoinois. They only have the oil that is extracted from the pits of the radish. O Mayasu Anshe Kaputkia. What about the people from Kaputkia? They don't have any of the above except for neft, which was this byproduct of the pitch. Ella, says Rabbi Chaminuri, must conclude and say, let's not add any more restrictions. We have the Mishnahs, we have the first and second Mishnah and the Perek, which gave us guidelines, what may and what may not be used as oil. Only those on the list mentioned in the Mishnah are not to be used. However, everything else is suitable. Umadlikim is shemen dogim, ubi itron, fish oil, and itron, those are both acceptable. Now, why did he point out, why did he choose to single out these two? Why didn't he just say that everything in the Mishnah is to be followed? So Rashi points out that there was an added chiddush here. He was trying to stress that even shemen dogim, which is similar, has some similarities to chalef, to fat of an animal, which is not suitable. This was mentioned in the first Mishnah. So, even so, it is indeed suitable. So that's why he mentioned Shem and Dogim. Why did he mention the Itron, which is a byproduct of the pitch of the Zephes? So, although it's coming from Zephes, and Zephes itself is not suitable, nevertheless, Itron is suitable, as mentioned now Mishnah, on the second Mishnah, back on Chavdal Adam Beis. Okay, so that's the Shita of Rebbe Chaminuri, which concurs with our Mishnahs that we had the first and second Mishnah by Memadlikin. Continues the Gemara with another Shita. Hashem Shazuri Aymer, Madlikin b'shemen pakois ubeneft. So he agrees with all the prohibitions in the first Mishnah, the Zephes and etc. mentioned in the first Mishnah. However, he disagrees with the second Mishnah. So we have two Mishnahs in Memadlikin. The first Mishnah listed the unsuitable oils, the Zephes, and the Shava, the Shemen Kik, the Shemen Strefa, the Ali and the Chelem, that was the first Mishnah. We had the second Mishnah on Chavdal Adon Beis, which gave us a list of Chacham Matirim, that allowed to use Shemen Shum Shemen, Shemen Agoizim, Shemen Tznoiznoi, Shemen Dogim, Shemen Pakois, Itrim Beneft. So that was the Mishnah number two, which gave us the positive list, those items which are suitable according to Chacham. Rabbi Shimon is arguing with the second Mishnah. He says that amongst that list, amongst those items mentioned in that list, the only two that I allow is Shemen Pakois and Neft. I don't allow the Shum Shemen, the Egoism, the Tznoinites, only the Pakois and the Neft. Okay? And finally, another final Shita, Simchas Omer Kol Yoytzim in Abasar, that anything that is extracted from the meat, and this is referring to Chela, so the fat of an animal, is unsuitable. Ela b'shemen dogim. Shemen dogim, although it is similar to chalev, as mentioned earlier, that's okay. Fish oil is okay. So Simchas here is not really disagreeing with the two Mishnahs. He's concurring with the two Mishnahs. He's saying, we follow those Mishnahs. And in fact, he stresses that shemen dogim is also suitable, although it's similar to the basar, to the yotzim and abasar. Only chalev is unsuitable, but not shemen dogim. Says the Gemara, okay, what's the point of adding another Shita here? It seems to be a duplicate Shita. Simchas Hainu Tanakama. Simchas seems to be duplicating the Shita of the Tanakama. And when we say Tanakama here, we're referring to Rav Yechem Nuri, who was challenging Rav Tarfon. And he told them, we can't create our own restrictions. We must follow the Mishnah. So everything stated in the Mishnah is meant to be followed. Whether the first Mishnah with its restrictions, whether the second Mishnah with its list of allowances, we follow the Mishnah in totality. Somchus is saying the same exact thing. He's not adding anything more. He's not adding any more to restrictions or allowances. He's just saying that Shem and Dagim is not in the same category as Chelev. Chelev is also, but Shem and Dagim is Mutter. So he doesn't seem to be saying anything different than Riyachim and Nuri. Somchus, Hayne Tana Kama. So why does the Braisa present them as two different views? Answers the Gemara, Ike Benayu, there is something in between them. There is a point of contention between Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Sumchus. What is that? Ike Benayu, there are Bruna Marav. We learned earlier that there's halacha back on Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph that if one adds some oil into the unsuitable fuel, for instance, he adds some valid oil into the molten fat or into the fish oil. So according to Rav Bruna, the name of Rav, that fixes it up, that enables it to be properly absorbed in the psila, and as machshirit, one may use the chalif and the fish oil since it contains this additional valid oil in it. So that was the chiddush of Bruna Marav. Says the Gemara, this will be or some part of this halacha will be the nafkimina. This will be the point of contention between Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri and Sumchas. Rashi explains as follows. It appears, before we get to Rashi, it appears that chalef is more restrictive, is more stringent, is more unsuitable than the Shuman Dagim. Why is that? Because we find that in the first Mishnah, chalef is listed amongst those fuels that are not suitable. The Mishnah says v'loy b'chelev. In the second Mishnah, the Mishnah which gives us a list of suitable oils, the Mishnah says plainly v'shem etznoi, v'shem endogim. So I'm going to use fish oil. Apparently, fish oil is better than chelev. If so, explains Rashi. Rav Bruna Marav teaches us that if one adds oil into something which is not suitable, That is makshir, that is matir, that enables it to be properly absorbed, and one may use it since it has the oil. That will be the point of contention between the Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Sumchas. Now, one of them will hold. We don't know which one, because the Gemara concludes with two more words. Let's just take a look inside again. Iki b'nai dar bruna marav, v'loy mesaymi. There's no simon here, there's nothing to indicate which one of these will hold what. Okay, there's something in between, there's some point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Sumchas with regard to the concept of adding oil into an unsuitable fuel. But it's not clear who holds what. Okay, so regardless of that point, we don't know who holds what. So one of them will hold as follows, explains Rashi, that the Isra of Chalef is regardless of whether or not it contains oil. It's a blanket Isra. In any case, one may not use Chalef because it's unsuitable. However, the oil, the fish oil, the Shuman Dagim, that will be allowed provided some valid oil was added to it. So this will be one sheet. One sheet will hold that chalev is terrible, it can't be used even if you add oil. Shuman Dagim, that's a higher quality item, and if you add some oil there, then it is mutter. So you can't use it without the oil. If you add oil, it's mutter. That's one opinion. The other sheet will hold that chalef will be mutter if you add some oil. That enables the chalef to be absorbed into the wick. Shuman Dagim is a high quality item. It doesn't even require the addition of oil. So even if you don't add any oil, you may use it regardless. So this briefly is the conclusion of the Gemara here, that we have Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Sumchas who are disagreeing regarding one point, the point of adding oil. And briefly again, we have the chalef, we have the Shuman Dagim. According to one of these opinions, chalev is never allowed. Shuman Dagim is allowed provided he added some oil. According to the second shita, chalev will be allowed if he adds some oil. Shuman Dagim is mutter regardless of whether it contains oil. Let's try to make heads and tails of all these shitas that we had up until now and do a summary of all the opinions. So we began with the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek, Mishnah number 1, which gives us a list of unsuitable items. We have the Zephes, the Shava, the Shemen Kik, the Aliyah, the Chalev. And the Gemara earlier in the Perek told us that according to the Tanakhama, perhaps the Chalev would be mutter if we add some oil. We proceed with the second Mishnah, which is on Daf Chavdala, which gives us a list of suitable items, the Shemen Shumshemen, Egoizim, Tznoines, Pakuas, Itra, Neft, the Shemen Dogim, and of course Shemen Zayis, which is the best one and accepted and acceptable to all. And now Brisa today, we have a number of Shitas. We have Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who seems to completely follow the Mishnahs. We have Simchas as well, which seems to concur with the Mishnayas. However, there's one point of contention here with regard to adding oil. One of them, either Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Simchas, will hold that Chalev is never allowed and Shemen Dogim is allowed if he adds some oil. The other Shita will hold that Chalev is allowed provided there's some additional valid oil there. Shemen Dogim is allowed regardless of any addition, even pure fish oil is allowed. Then we have Rabbi Shmuel, who tells us that kol hayotzei min ha'etz, anything produced directly from the tree is unsuitable. With that, he rules out the tsari, which is a tree sap. He rules out the itron and the neft, which are produced from the pitch, which is a tree product. Rabbi Shmuel ben Broika adds another restriction. He says it needs to come from a pri. Only yotzei min ha'pri is suitable. With that, he rules out the shuman dogim, the fish oil. We have Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, who tells us the only two items are the Shemen Pakuis and the Neft. Those are the suitable items, oils for Hadlaka. Finally, according to Rav Tarfon, who is the most restrictive of all, he says nothing, no oils are allowed except for Shemen Zayis. Continues the Gemara. Tani Wellington Abrais, Rav Shimon Malazar Oymer, Kola Yaitzim and Eitz. Anything, any garment which is produced by natural materials, kol yotzei min ha'etz, anything grown, any plant material, as she says, like for instance cotton, ein bo mishum shalosh al shalosh. The beged, the material that consists of any type of plant material, any type of yotzei min ha'etz, is not considered to be a beged with regard to tumah. A beged produced with these materials does not have a shem beged, does not have a status of beged, and is not susceptible to tumah. That is the minimum size for material to become tameh shalosh al shalosh, the width of three fingers, three etzbayis, by the length of three etzbayis. That's the minimum size. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, if it's produced by something which grows, it is not a beged with regard to tumah. And since it's not makabel tumah, therefore, it can be used as schach for a sukkah, because schach is only kosher. When we use material which A, grows from the ground, and B, is not susceptible to tumah. So, any type of material is suitable for schach, since it's not makabel tumah, except chutz mipishtin, except for flax. So, the only type of beged which is considered to be a din beged with regard to a kabbalah's tumah is a beged which is made of material made from flax from pishtan. Now Rashi points out that when we say chutz mipishtan, we're referring to even bundles of unprocessed, not completely processed flax, and even they can be makabel tumah, tumas negoyim, as the Gemara will discuss later, and therefore it's not suitable for schach as well. That's a side point which will be discussed later in the Gemara. The Gemara here will first focus on the first halacha, once again, that a garment material will only be considered to be a beged and be susceptible to tumah, to be makabel tumah, if it is made from pishtan, from flax, from linen. The Gemara soon will add another item, another type of material, which is tsemer, wool. So only a beged made from either tsemer or pishtan, wool or flax, is susceptible to tumah. Amar Abaye, if so, this shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar will concur with the shita of Tana Dei Rishmo, who holds likewise that the only time we consider to be a beged with regard to the Dini Torah of Tumah or Tzitzis, because the term beged is cited in the Parsha of Tzitzis al Kafi Bigdayim. So the term beged is only if it is made of material of tzemer or pishtim, wool and linen. Once again, Amar Abaye, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, our Tana that we just mentioned, V'tana Rav Shmuel, Amar Davar Echa, they both say the same thing. They both hold the same opinion. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that's what we just mentioned. Tarn Rav Shmuel, would we find the same shita that is cited by Tarn Rav Shmuel? The Tarn Rav Shmuel, Hayil v'Nemru, Begadim v'Torah Stam. We find many times that the Torah uses the term beged without elaboration, without explaining. What is this beged made from? For instance, as Rashi, like the Torah discusses, Tumas Shrotzim, if a dead sheretz touches a beged, it becomes Tamei, or Tumas Meis, or Tumas Chazera, or by Tzitzis. The Torah uses the term, a general term, beged. And we don't know what type of material is involved in this beged. Upirat l'cha kosov ba'achad mehem. And one time, this is by the parasha of Negoim, where a beged became Tamei because it contains, it has a neger on it. The Torah there did elaborate, did explain what is the meaning of beged. The Torah says, tzemer pishtim, when it's made of either tzemer, wool or linen. Tzemer pishtim. So the pasuk there uses the word beged. It says, beged, which is a general term, which is a klal, undefined. And the Torah continues, beged tzemer, beged pishtim. Says Rashi, this is the klal, the formula of klal uprat, one of the 13 midos of the Torah, 13 formulas of deriving, of explaining the Torah. Klal uprat, when we have a general undefined term followed by a definition, an explanation, then we're meant to apply that definition to the general term. So the Torah tells us, beged tzemer, beged pishtim. The Torah is telling you that beged means tzemer pishtim. So once again, by Negoim, we actually have two psukim. We have one pasuk which says, ha-beged ki yeboi nega tzeras. So ha-beged, the beged yeboi nega tzeras is a klal, as she says. It's a very general term. What type of beged? It's undefined. Va-beged. What type of material is it? Va-beged ki yeboi nega tzeras. And the pasuk continues to define and explain, ve-beged semer or ve-beged pishtim. So this is a definition and explanation for the word va-beged. It's a klal uprat. And beged from now on will mean tzemer pishtim. And then comes another pasuk. Zoyseres neged tzaras, beged tzemer, beged pishtim. So twice we find in the parashah of Negoim where the Torah stipulates that it must consist of tzemer pishtim. Why does the Torah have to explain it twice? The Gemara later will explain that we need both drashes to teach us something. So at this point in the Gemara is deriving from nega. We see by nega that the term beged is a reference to specifically a beged which consists of a tzemer pishtim. Once again, says the Gemara, Tanu Rav Shmuel, Hayil v'nemar begadim b'Torah stam. We find many times the word beged in the Torah mentioned, undefined, stam, without elaborating what type of materials contained therein. Upir t'cha kasa ba'achat mem. We find one place where the Torah does stipulate and explain, which is in the parashah of Negoim, tzemer pishtim. If so, we derive from there. This is called a binyan av. It's like it's a building on a father, like the father source. So that will be a father source, a source for everywhere else. Ma'ala halon, just like there. What is the definition of beged? It is tzemer pishtim, only if it strictly contains wool or linen. Af kol, so too everywhere else in the Torah, where the word beged is employed, is referring specifically to a beged, which consists of material made from tzemer pishtim. So indeed, says Abaye, these two shittas are alike. Rabbi Shmuel and Shmuel Lazar, who hold that it only has a status of beged with regard to tumah when it is made from, produced from tzemer pishtim, they both are following the same opinion. Rava Amar, generally speaking, I agree with you that these two shittas are following the same path. However, there's something between them. There is some point of contention, one difference. Rava Amar shleish al shleish rishar b'gadim yikibinayu. That if we have a large size of material, which is shleish al shleisha, which is three tefachim wide but three tefachim long, that's already a significant size, considered to be a beged. It's not merely a small patch of 3x3 etzbois. This is a beged chashev, says Rava. This will be the point of contention. According to Tanya de Rishmal, a beged is only if it is from tzemer pishtim, regardless of its size, whether it's small or large, it doesn't have a shame beged. With regard to tumah, with regard to like Rashi said, with regard to tzitzis as well, only if it's semer pishtim. However, says Rabbi Kondi of Shimon ben Elazar, let's pay close attention to his words. He was discussing shalish al shalish. Apparently, this restriction of semer pishtim only applies to a small patch, a small tiny material of shalish al shalish, which has only a very limited use, can be used as a patch for a poor man's clothing. So there, it requires tzemer pishtim. However, says Rava, if it's a large size piece of material, which is shlesha al shlesha, a material of significance, that can even be if it is mishar begadim, made of other materials. Because perhaps the quantity, the size, will make up for its deficiency in quality. Once again, Rava Amar, shlesha al shlesha mishar begadim yikibinayu. In this case, when we have a large size material of shlesha al shlesha, and which is made from other materials, materials other than wool or linen, this will be the point of contention between Rav Shimon ben Lazar, who considers it to be a beged, and Rav Tanu Rav Shmuel, who says, no, it must be strictly from tzemer pishtim. The Rav Shimon ben Lazar, isle, he holds that it's a beged. The Tanu Rav Shmuel, lesle, he holds that it's not a beged. Okay, let's go back to the basics, says the Gemara. To Kol Yalma, everybody agrees. To Kol Yalma Mias, everybody though agrees, the Sholosh al Sholosh. If we have a small patch, which is merely Sholosh al Sholosh, 3x3 etzbois, when it's mitzemer pishtim, when it consists of wool or linen, mitame benagon, everybody agrees that it can become tame with a nega, even though it's just a small piece of material. Says, why? How do you know that? Minalan, how do you know it's just a small size, a little patch of material is considered to be a beged with regard to negoim? Says, well, we have it in a brisa, the sani. Beged, if the pasuk would only have said by nega the word beged, emli ela beged, then indeed, I would say, apparently you need a full-size beged. Shalosh al shalosh minayin. How would we know that even a small patch, small-size material, 3x3 3x3 etzbois, can become tamei with a nega? Tamei lamia veha beged. So the extra vav and hey is a ribui to include even a small patch. That is considered to be a beged with regard to becoming tamei by a nega. So that's why, how do you know, even such a small patch, perhaps, okay, we have a ribui veha, maybe it's coming to teach us, ve'ema l'rabi shlesha shlesha, that a large size material, which is 3x3 tfachim, can become tummy. The Torah is telling us, not only a full size, complete garment, even a piece of material, but the piece of material has to be a piece of significance, has to have 3x3 tfachim. So again, how do you know that a small size 3x3 etzbois material is tummy? Ve'ema l'rabi shlesha shlesha. Says more for that, for shleisha al shleisha, which is a large piece of material, we don't need a pasuk. Lava kavachaima. We can derive it simply from a kavachaima. What is the kavachaima? Hash to shesi ve'erif. We find the pasuk tells us that even the threads of the shesi ve'erif, the threads that are ready for weaving, the shesi is the vertical, ve'erif is the thread intended for the horizontal threads in the garments. Even threads which weren't yet formed into woven material, Mitame can accept Tumas Negoim. So if it hadn't yet been formed into material, it could become Tame. Certainly Shleisha Shleisha Mibayi. Of course, if it's a full-fledged material which has a significant size of Shleisha Shleisha, of course it becomes Tame. So that can be derived simply from a Kavachomer, from the threads of Shesiv Eir. The Torah doesn't have to teach us that a piece of material, 3x3 Tfachim, can become Tame. If so, the Pasuk, which is including the words, the letters of ve, vav and hey, viha, which is coming to include something beyond the basic. Apparently it's coming to include even a small patch, a small piece of material, 3x3, it's bois. Says the Gemara, ihachi. So if you have this kavachaymer from shesi ve'erif, why do you need a pasuk for the shalosh al shalosh as well? Let us derive that also from the kavachaymer, because if merely a strand of a piece of thread, a shesi ve'erif, which is not even a piece of material, can become tummy. Certainly, a piece of material can become tummy, even though it's a small piece of material. Let that also be learned from the kavachaymer. Yehachi, says the Gemara, if you propose the kavachaymer, shalosh shalosh nami leisim kavachaymer. So why do you need a pasuk for that? So once again, let's just backtrack a drop. We have the shesiv erev, which is stipulated in the pasuk, which is becomes tummy, which are even threads. From there we learn a kavachomer, that if that could become tummy with a nega, certainly a large size material, which is 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. And the pasuk of vihabeged is coming to add even a patch, says Gemara. The patch can also be learned from a kavachomer, shesiv erev. Says Gemara, elo, asama goris loy, no. A small patch cannot be learned from the kavachomer. Shleisha, shleisha, only a large size material, which is 3x3 tefachim, can be learned from a kal vachomer. Why? Because the chazu, it's fit, it's suitable to be used. Bein lashirim, bein laniyim, for rich people or for poor people. It has it's a piece of prominence, it's a piece of significance, it's a large size material. And since it has this multi-use capacity, certainly also kal vachomer can be learned from kal vachomer, from the threads of shesiv erev. So that we don't need, for that we don't need a pasuk. But shalosh al shalosh, since it only has a restrictive use, la'anim with the chazion, it's only suitable for poor people to be used as a patch, to be attached to another garment. So it's a very limited use capacity, and therefore it cannot be derived from a kal vachomer. Once again, shalosh al shalosh, la'anim with the chazion, it's only suitable for poor people, la'shim le'chazion, but not for wealthy people, la'asim b'kal vachomer, it can't be learned from the kal vachomer, from the shesiv erev. And therefore, the Gemara concludes, we need a pasuk, time with the kasvei kro. So it's only because the Torah includes it and is marbet with the word of vehabeget, holy kasvei kro, but otherwise we would not know shalosh al shalosh. Holy kasvei kro, if not for the fact that the pasuk adds it and includes it with the letters of vav hei vehabeget, like amrinu kavachemi, we can't derive from a kavachemi. So in summary, we learned that Semer Repishtim is the material of choice, of prominence for Begadim, and therefore a Begad which contains Semer Repishtim can become Tamei. It can be used for the Begad of Tzitzis. And the Pasuk teaches us by Negoim that even Shesi Ve'erev can become Tamei, even threads, processed threads can become Tamei with Negoim. It's a Beferish Pasuk. And the Shloisha al Shloisha, the material which has a large size of 3x3 tefachim, that is learned from the kal vachomer from the shesiv erev, because if it merely threads can become tamei, certainly a large size material. The small patch of shalosh al shalosh, it's bais, that we need a pasuk for, that is included in the ribo, a vehabeget, which comes to be marbe, even a patch of shalosh al shalosh, it's bais. Continue the Gemara with one more piece here. Ve'ema. So we have the pasuk of veha beged, which comes to include something, says the Gemara. Perhaps we should apply it to other materials, explains Rashi. Semer Pishtim doesn't need any ribui, because we will learn that if shesi ve'erev, which are merely threads, can become tamei, certainly a piece of material, whether it's 3x3 etzbois or 3x3 tfachim, it can be learned to kal vachomer. The pasuk of veha beged that is coming to include something in addition, perhaps it should be applied to other materials. Says the Gemara Makra, the pasuk tells us specifically, beged semer pishtim, only a beged that consists of semer pishtim, wool or linen, can become tummy. Beged semer pishtim in, only that, but nothing else. So you can't come and propose that we're going to include other materials. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Veima. Ki imut, when is the Torah excluding other materials? That is only when it's a small piece, it's shalosh al shalosh, it's insignificant, has only restricted use, can be used as a patch for an ani. So since it's insignificant, by its size, and it's insignificant due to its material, to its inferior material, it's other materials, it's not semer pishtim. So that the Torah has come to your mind. When the Torah tells us semer pishtim, it's come to your mind, other materials, if they're small in size, they have two factors going against them. They're inferior material, A, and B, they're small patches. Says the one inside, ve'ema. Perhaps I would say, ki imut, when the Torah is coming to unite other materials, it's only mishalosh al shalosh, when they're small size materials. They have both factors working against them. Ava shalosh al shalosh. However, if you have a large size material, which is 3x3 tefachim, so although it doesn't have the high grade material, it's not semer pishtim, which is a prominent type of material. It's an ordinary material, but if the size is large, so perhaps the quantity will make up for the quality. And that indeed can be included and learned from the Riba of Vehabeget. Ava Shlesha Shlesha Zmar Mitami, says the Gemara. But let's keep in mind, Tremiotik City. And the Pasha and the Goyim, the Torah stipulates the words Semer Pishtim twice. Beget Semer, Beget Pishtim. So twice. Apparently the Pasuk is coming to stress that only Semer Pishtim can become Tamei, but other materials are inferior. They don't have the prominence of Semer Pishtim, they don't have the status, and they can't become Tamei, regardless of their size. So we have two Miyutim, twice the Torah stipulates Semer Pishtim. Says the Gemara, one is coming to tell us, Chad Lemute is coming to exclude other materials, Mishalosh Al Shalosh, when they're small patches. that they are not considered to be a beged with regard to tumah. V'chad, and the Torah repeats again, Sirma Pishtim, to teach us that only wool and linen have the prominence and are considered to be a beged with regard to tumah, but other materials are not, regardless of their size, even if they're large size materials. V'chad limutim shleisha shleisha. Even if you have a large piece of material, since it's made of other materials, other than Sirma Pishtim, it is not considered to be a beged with regard to tumah. Okay, so it's time for a quick chazara. So we began with sari, which was the sap, this fragrant oil. The Gemara gave us three reasons why it's not suitable for oil, for fuel in a lamp. The Gemara tells us one reason, because it splatters, that imposes danger. That's even for the weekdays. And the Gemara gave us two reasons for Shabbos. He might draw some from it, which is a melacha. Or since it comes from the eitz, it's produced directly from the tree, it's not drawn properly after the wick, and it won't produce a steady flame. The Gemara told us that tevel as well cannot be consumed. One cannot have anah while consuming tevel. And also neft lavan, which is a white type of residue from the pitch, it's unsuitable. The Gemara tells us because it poses a danger. It splatters and sprays and can set the home on fire. The Gemara proceeds by giving us a long list of various opinions which we got with regard to suitable and non-suitable oils for a lamp on Shabbos. So we have the two Mishnahs, the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek, which gives us a list of oils which are not to be used. We have the Mishnah in the Chav Dalas, which gives us a list of suitable oils. We have Rabbi Yechim and Nuri and Sumchas, which basically concur with the Mishnah. However, they differ somewhat with regard to adding oil into the Chalev and to the Shuman Dagim. We have Rabbi Shmo, who tells us that something which is produced directly from a tree is unsuitable, like, for instance, the Itran and the Neft. We have Rabbi Shmo Breka tells us that the only suitable oils are ones which are produced from the pri. So he rules out the itra and the neft and the shuman dagim as well. We have a shuman shazuri who tells us that on the list of suitable oils, the only ones that are good are the shuman pakuis and the neft. And finally, we have a tarfon who is very restrictive and tells us the only suitable oil is shemen zayis bilvat. Then we'll proceed with the topic of tumas begadim and the quantity of shemen laz and tanvei rishmal. The only materials which can produce a beged which will be susceptible to tumah are semer pishtim, wool or linen, which are the most prominent materials. We learned this from the parsha of Tumas Negoyim, where the Torah stipulates that a beged must be produced from semer pishtim. And indeed, as the Gemara concludes, that with regard to Tumas Negoyim, even shesi ve'erev, these spun threads which are prepared for weaving, are tamei Tumas Negoyim. It's a beferish pasuk. From a Kal V'Chomer, we learn even a piece of material which is merely shloisha shloisha tefachim, 3x3 tefachim in size. That is learned from a Kal V'Chomer, that if thread can become a tummy, certainly a piece of material that size. And finally, a small patch of shloisha shloisha tzbois, which is merely suitable as a patch for a beged of an ani. That is also included, because the Torah doesn't merely say beged, the Torah adds a vav and a hey, v'ha beged. That is coming to include the shalish al shalish as well. Rava says, well, according to the shita of Rav Shimon and Lazar, when we have a large size of material which is shalish al shalish atzvachim, that will be makamotuma, even if it is made from other materials, non-semar pishtim materials.